the background is to inspire people working in the field of healthcare or themselves being seriously sick, in any way just involved with the thought of sickness on a regular basis, then to inspire those to relate to their basic innate healthiness embodied by the divine healer, so to provide the professional burnout, to prevent the professional burnout and and so on. So the meditation itself is therefore very short and just consists of a few thoughts that bring into mind what is essential to any Dharma practice anyway. I have put the titles in between to highlight the various sections. So the first one is refuge, then there's bodhicitta, and in the end we have dedication and wishing prayers. So you might notice that it's just what is essential to any Dharma practice, where in the beginning one is said to one has to have those three authentic components of a practice, being the taking refuge, bodhicitta initially, in the middle to rest without any belief, and in the end to dedicate the merit to all sentient beings. So the three essential components of any practice that you probably know. And so the first is taking refuge, and this reminds us at the same time of certain facts of concerning the arisal of illness or the appearance of illness. And it is very helpful maybe for you to note down one verse that Rinpoche made in this connection. And he yesterday picked up on that explanation by talking about the song of Gyotsangpa, where it says that that sickness in itself is good and there's no need to shun the appearance of sickness. So there are four lines to that, and they're quite profound, so maybe you can just take a brief note of that. The cause of illness is evil karma accumulated in the past. The cause of illness is evil karma accumulated in the past. The condition of illness is the disturbance of the elements. Disturbance. The condition of the illness, the condition of the illness is the disturbance of the elements. The essence of illness is the thought of being sick. The three of them, the essence of illness is the thought of being sick. The three of them are beyond existence and non-existence. I repeat the whole sentence. The cause of illness is evil karma accumulated in the past. The condition of illness is the disturbance of the elements. The essence of illness is the thought of being sick. The three of them are beyond existence and non-existence. So remember this exactly he explained yesterday in the talk. And he gave this verse when we did a small like a pilgrimage in Nepal some years ago with members of the group of the mental health professional. So this is the basis of explanation to deal with sickness, and then the meditation. I and others, all sentient beings, in order to pacify the suffering of illness, arising from previous karma and temporary conditions, take refuge in the Divine Healer. And normally we take refuge in Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, and so on. And here the Divine Healer, another name for the healing Buddha, or as in the West we usually say medicine Buddha, but literally it means Vaishacha Guru, which is from the meaning teacher of healing or medicinal art, or the healing teacher, or something like that. So the Divine Healer, sometimes also called the medicinal deity or the healing deity. We take refuge in the Divine Healer, and he embodies then all what we know, like the three sources of refuge and protection, Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. As he himself is like the perfect physician, he embodies the freedom of sickness, he embodies the skillful means, the methods to overcome sickness, and at the same time he is the healer, he who interferes with us and is the example of doing so. So he embodies the three sources of refuge. And then we have the second step, which is the development of bodhicitta, so that those tormented by the variety of illness may in this life be freed from sickness and finally reach Buddhahood. I rouse my heart towards supreme awakening. So we have bodhicitta here in its various aspects present in this verse, to free people from the temporary appearance of sickness is obviously the motivation of any person working in the healthcare. But then finally, one should wish for that they finally reach the total liberation, the state of Buddhahood. But then this turns into something meaningful, which is not just changing and manipulating temporary conditions. If our work was not contributing to the final, ultimate, and unchanging happiness and well-being of sentient beings, then we feel like working like Sisyphus, with trying to overcome sickness where sickness never can be overcome as the under appearance mode. We can never get rid of sickness, we can never get rid of death, but we have to arrange ourselves with that. And the understanding of this is perfectly expressed in the songs of Gyutsangpa, as we have heard now for many times. Our motivation should thus reach much further than trying to manipulate a certain state of appearance of someone's body. And this is the opening, the awakening of heart, called the bodhicitta. This is the prerequisite, and normally one recites those verses three times each, three times the refuge, three times the bodhicitta, if there's time enough. And then the next step is to rest in emptiness, in the understanding of emptiness. As the three authentic components of any practice, Dhamma practice, are initially to give rise to the proper motivation for wanting to do this for the benefit and liberation of all sentient beings. The middle part, says the main body of the practice, is to rest without any point of reference or further belief into the existence, the true existence of phenomena. We are working hard on this by the various texts that we are studying here in this course. And in terms of a sadhana, a practice, then this is presented as the two phases of the training or exercise, two procedures. One is the development procedure of thought, and then this utpatikrama, and then the dissolution phase or sampanakrama. And before the thoughts are developed, one lets them arise out of the natural emptiness. Here it described with the words, involved with perceived and perceiver, all phenomena are to be purified within the primordially pure empty expanse. So those two lines summarize what we are studying right here, for example, in this text by Maitreya, distinguishing the mode of appearance from the true reality. The mode of appearance is exactly defined as perceived and perceiver, this dualistic split we have heard about, and this has to be purified or refined by the understanding that it does not exist as such. It is just an error of mind, and as for the reality of it, there is only true reality, which is suchness, and here called primordially pure empty expanse, or nature of mind. So one tries to rest within this understanding, and out of this understanding, one gives then rise to the image of the medicine Buddha. Spontaneously, I become the healing Buddha. The healing Buddha is the shape or form that one takes on as one's own body. Rinpoche yesterday very nicely explained that we can see our own body we can see of our own body with various different ideas. We can see the body as banana tree. We can see the body as a leather bag filled with shit. Or we can see the body as a divine being, as a pure wisdom deity. So here the suggestion is to see the body as a pure wisdom deity, which is the form of the healing Buddha. The healing Buddha, you are familiar with, usually you just can take a tanka and look at the details. The basics here is that the healing Buddha is blue in color, dark blue in color, and of a certain shininess that is attributed to the Vaidurya stone. It's kind of a glowing, shiny surface that we cannot really tell where the light comes from, inside or outside. It's neither transparent nor dense, so it's kind of very difficult to tell beyond description. So the glow of the dark blue Vaidurya color, this is the body of the healing Buddha. He has one face and two arms, and he sits on a open lotus flower on the center of a flat lying moon disk. His right hand is in the gesture of the perfect giving on the right knee, and holding a Arura flower, or Arura plant. Arura plant is said to be the queen of medicinal plants, able to cure all kinds of sicknesses. So it's the cure all in terms of herbal treatment. Arura, just as Arura. Very simple. It's a Tibetan word. I don't know whether the Sanskrit equivalent or Latin equivalent really exists. Yeah, maybe, whatever. And then in the left hand is in the lap, holding the bowl that is filled with the nectar of immortality. The left hand in the lap holds the bowl with the nectar of immortality. The Buddha is clothed in the three Dharma robes, three types of Dharma clothings. So he has the appearance like the Shakyamuni Buddha, the Nirmanakaya appearance. Besides that, he has the blue color, he looks very much like the Shakyamuni Buddha, the same clothing, but he has in his hand, in the open hand that is open to the outside, he has this medicinal plant, and in the left hand he carries this bowl filled with the nectar. And apart from that, his body is ordained with all the 32 marks, of course, of the enlightened being, which characterize the Buddha, and the 82 symbolical marks, and so on. So he's the perfect being. And imagining ourselves like this, the main body of the meditation always is to be without any true point of reference, then of course this image is very clear, but at the same time it is not substantial. So this is very important here. There is nothing to hold on to. The body is transparent, that you can look from the front to the back and from the side to the other side. There are no atoms involved, but it has to be very clear. And this being the general nature of all the images that one gives rise to in the development phase of the meditation, here in the inside of the body, however, three things are visualized. It says, that goes along with the lines saying, from the noble body, speech and mind, light radiates out. And one imagines a small ball of light, or bindu of light, as it is called, small drop of light, of white color in the inside of the head, just at the level of the forehead. So in the center of the head, in the level of the forehead, there's a white, shiny ball of light. In the center of the throat, there is a red ball of light, and in the center of the heart, a deep blue ball of light. And the light is radiating out from those in all 10 directions. Those centers marked by white, red and blue balls of light are the representation of the indestructible body, speech and mind, the enlightened body, speech and mind. And in other contexts they are marked with the letters Om, Ah and Hung in the respective color. However, since not all sentient beings know Tibetan language, and they don't know the shape of the letter, maybe some are even illiterate, it would exclude those beings from practicing if we were attached to the shape of letters. So Rinpoche reduced it to the essence of what is meant here. So it's the representation of the pure body, speech and mind as a white, red and blue small ball of light. So from these, the noble body, speech and mind, light radiates out. And the light is imagined to go into all 10 directions of the space, which are north, south, east, west, and in between, and up and down, and reaching into the pure realms of Buddhas. Being an offering of light to the Buddhas of the 10 directions, and thus inspire them to also grant the blessing, the inspirational power to ourselves. The Buddhas in the 10 directions turn into the shape of the healing Buddha of all various sizes, big and small, and they come from all sides, swirl along like the snowflakes of snowstorm, and they come from all sides and merge into ourselves, so that that dissolve into us. We become indivisible from all the Buddhas of the 10 directions. So this follows along this line here, from the noble body, speech and mind, light radiates out, all the Buddhas within the 10 directions to transformed into the healing Buddha dissolved indivisibly into me. So far for the preparation, and then starts the actual part that is the concentration where one focuses on as long as one has time to spend and makes use of the mantra. The mantra is here in three various ways of how to write it. You may choose whatever you want. And while speaking the mantra, one imagines that from the body of the healing Buddha, oneself being the healing Buddha, clear yet transparent, non-substantial, emptiness and clarity, appearance, inseparable, light of multicolored light radiates out in all directions and penetrates the entirety of this world. And all the beings, the inhabitants of this world, and removes their suffering of illness. Completely wipes out and purifies all the stains of illness, purifies them from the causes of illness to the various states of mental affliction and all the suffering that goes along with that. Renders them entirely pure and purified so that they are soaked with well-being and goodness. Without any stain of impurity, then, and so this is the mental concentration that one trains in by reciting the mantra of the healing Buddha. No, this time from the whole body of the medicine Buddha, then light radiates out, multicolored light radiates out in all five colors, yeah. So this you do for a while. And then, at the end of this utpatikrama or development phase of image, well, let's dissolve it. It merely rests again in the primordially pure empty space, the nature of mind, which is luminous clarity. In the end of this development phase of meditation, one let's dissolve the image and rests naturally and uncontrived in the empty, open, primordially pure expanse, the luminous clarity of mind, the unaltered natural state of mind. So this comprises the body of the meditation, the training in having no true point of reference, starting out from the understanding that there is the wide open primordially pure expanse giving rise to the image of the healing Buddha within performing all the activities of samadhi by reciting the mantra and then finally dissolving it back into the empty, pure, open, primordially pure as expanse of luminous nature of mind. Usually the mantra is not used as carrying a meaning. One could possibly here attribute a meaning, but they might be very profound on various levels, so I don't want to go into that, and it's not the custom to do that either, not necessarily so. I mean, unless it is part of the visualization, then this just reciting the word. The mantra being the embodiment of all the qualities of the particular deity that one is meditating on. Mantra is the manifestation of enlightened speech and carries all the qualities, so it's not just an ordinary word. in the mantra, yeah. Teyata om bekatse bekatse maha bekatse raja samutgate soha. Well, there's Tibetan and Sanskrit pronunciations. This is like the way the Tibetans say. And there is always a dispute what was the correct Sanskrit pronunciation, but we have different dialects in Sanskrit as well, and there are clear indications that the Tibetans picked up on a northern dialect, so they might be totally true in what they say. Anyway, this is the tradition that we have, the living tradition, and this is the middle line here tries to imitate that is in the phonetics. Teyata om bekanse bekanse maha bekanse Raja Samutkate Soha. And then, in the end, of course, as the third component, the authentic component of any practice, there has to be dedication. By this merit from myself and others having accomplished the practice of healing Buddha, may all the migrators, means all the sentient beings, that wander from one realm to the others compulsory by being reborn, may they without one exception reach the level of divine healer. That's the purpose of doing so. And then the wishing prayer in the end is as well the description, the common description of the healing Buddha, addresses and praises his quality like the sun dispelling the darkness of ignorance, like the moon quelling the hot torment of mental affliction. The healing Buddha removes the illness of the three poisons. May the goodness of Vaidurya light be present. So, he also embodies the techniques, the methods which serve as remedy of sickness. He's the source of all the healing knowledge, the healing art, at the same time. So now we have made all the way through this very short practice, and I think it's kind of self-explanatory. There are not so many details to it. They're very simple to use and can be recalled in a few seconds just from going from one room to the next room to treat another patient or whatever our particular work is. We can apply it to ourselves when we feel sick. We can apply it to while in the process of trying to help others to overcome sickness. And this is the inspiration that Rinpoche wanted to pass on to us, that we are not discouraged ourselves by the appearance of sickness, and we help others to maintain the sense of humor in spite of all being exposed to all the various shortcomings of samsara. Maybe we leave it at this point. By this merit, may all beings.